Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and friends, we're glad you're with us today. The phone lines are open for you, and we'll welcome your call right now at 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or a personal issue you're dealing with, don't hesitate. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. But call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and happy Monday to you, and happy Monday to all of our listeners. So glad you've joined us on today's broadcast.
Yes.
We would love to talk with you and have a conversation about some things that are on your mind. It may be a Bible passage. It may be a problem situation. Now's a great time to pick up that phone and call 844-322-2742.
You might just want to vent about something.
Yeah.
Sometime. You just never know.
Sometimes on a Monday, that's a good
that's
what's on your mind. You want to get something off your chest. So we can do that as well. But, Bob, I wanted to talk about a familiar passage. Most of us probably have it memorized, or at least we've heard it quite a number of times. You can't sit in church very long without hearing this passage read. You can't listen to radio without hearing it mentioned on a broadcast, but it is Ephesians 2:8-9, and I'm actually going to include verse 10.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because it gives us a completeness to the work of Christ on our behalf. So it reads this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So every day on this broadcast, you're going to hear me at some point say God has set it up as a by grace through faith reality.
Yes,
that's salvation.
Right.
That's the Christian life. Everything that we experience is by grace through faith as far as Christianity is concerned. So he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So salvation is by grace through faith. "And this is not of your own doing." Now, Paul tells us the reason why that is true, that it can't be of our own doing. If you go back to verse 1 of this particular chapter, Paul says this about us before being saved by grace through faith. He says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked." So that's why it can't be of yourself. It can't be something that you have brought about. Why? Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. And as far as I know, Bob, dead men can't do much at all.
Much at all. Exactly right.
So, you know, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to righteousness, there's nothing that we can do to earn that. There's nothing that we can do to work ourselves out of that spiritual condition of dead in trespasses and sin. So that's why Paul puts an exclamation point on that when he says, "And this is not your own doing."
Right.
It is the gift of God. Mm-hmm. So salvation is a gift. This righteousness that God imputes to us, that's a gift. Holiness is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Being in union with God through His Spirit, that's a gift. Being absent from the body, present with the Lord after we die, that's all a gift of God, from God through Christ to you.
Yeah.
Everything that we receive comes from God, travels through Christ to us. So that's what this salvation is all about. So it is the gift of God, not a result of works. And again, if we're going to look to God to pay us according to our works, we're hoping that our good deeds are going to outweigh our bad deeds. And what God is going to say, if you violated the least of my commandments, you violated them all, and you were guilty of the whole thing. So the wage of your works is going to be death. That's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. So if you want God to pay you according to your works, you're going to be in for great disappointment. because your works aren't going to be good enough to earn you eternal life or righteousness or salvation. That's why it has to be a gift from God. Now, he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship. So this word workmanship, it's a great word, Bob. It's poema, and it's the Greek word that we get our word poem. Mm-hmm. So someone writes a poem. It's a creative expression of their mind and their heart. Well, what are we? We're the creative expression of God's mind and God's heart, and that work has been carried out through Jesus Christ. So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yes.
So when we were dead in trespasses and sins, it was impossible for us to engage in good works. But now that we are God's workmanship, now that we've been created anew in Christ Jesus, we're equipped to carry out the works of God that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what are those works? What do they look like? Well, Paul gives us a lot of examples of those in this letter to the Ephesians. So he says, first of all, the Holy Spirit is going to give you an understanding of the love of God. And as you grow in that understanding of the love of God, you're going to see love, many, many opportunities to express the love of God to other human beings, whether it's in the form of forgiving someone as God in Christ has forgiven you, if it comes in the form of speaking a word of encouragement or edification, as Christ has lifted you up by the grace of God, if it means to extend kindness. Kindness is an aspect of the love of God, and we have many opportunities right in front of us every single day to extend kindness. Now, I'm not talking about a disposition. I'm not talking about an attitude. I'm talking about acts of kindness, really doing something that's going to be of benefit to another person. So God has prepared these works beforehand that we should walk in them. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to express the love of God, to be involved in the act of love toward others. And this is all a result of God's grace, this gift of salvation that he's given to us through Christ Jesus.
And that is a wonderful way to start this particular broadcast, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. We'd love for you to come in and be a part. Just come right on into the studio with us at 844-322-2742. Of course, that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, you know, we couldn't be here every day doing what we do without you, because so many of you have stepped up to support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, the message you hear every day on Basic Gospel. And with your gift, we want to say thank you once again by sending you a copy of Bob's personal story, the insight-filled book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a study in how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. You'll be blessed through its pages, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And remember, as Bob has said in the past, that if you already have a copy, well, we would love for you, as you make your gift, to request another to be able to share with a family member or a close friend. We would love for you to help get the message out, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Your copy, of course, awaits your donation now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that phone number, everybody, want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Bob, kick off the program with a very, very interesting, very simple question from Myra. What happens when your faith fails?
Well, that's a great question, Bob. And, you know, we ask a question in those terms, when we don't really understand that faith is not a word into itself. It's not a standalone word. Faith always has to have an object, and the object of our faith is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, when we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that he will never fail. He will never fall away. He will never change on us. He is the great I am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we're looking at our faith, oftentimes we're looking at feelings associated with faith. Oftentimes we're looking at circumstances and we're making a judgment on our faith based on those things. Well, we have our eyes in the wrong place. Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. And when we realize that faith must have an object, and the object of our faith is Jesus Christ and His Word, then we recognize that He's never going to fail. So faith says, keep looking to Jesus. So you, like I said, you have to realize that Jesus is everything, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the good shepherd. So He came into this world. God said to believe Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus. As we've talked about, Bob, you and I memorized early Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. That's what this faith is all about, trusting in the Lord. Who is the Lord? It is Jesus Christ Himself. Yes. So faith has to have an object. So when you think of that word faith, always tie it to Jesus. And when you tie it to Jesus, you recognize that when He died on a cross, He completed His work. He took away all of your sins. So there's no punishment left for you. You are a forgiven person in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on that cross and was raised again, your faith in Him credited you righteousness. You were given the gift of righteousness. So you are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Not that you act that way all the time, and not that you feel that way all the time, but you have received the gift of righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. That's the righteousness that you now have. So if you keep faith and Jesus tied together, then you're going to, I think, see faith in a whole different way.
Absolutely. Byer, I hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Again, thank you for being with us. And, Bob, we had this question from Louisa. Can a believer be filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues? And since the Bible refers to being sealed by the Spirit, is speaking in tongues proof that one is sealed?
Speaking in tongues is not proof of anything other than you've received the gift of speaking in tongues from the Spirit of God. But to be filled with the Spirit, it is not about spiritual experiences. It's not about ecstatic utterances. It's not about falling down on the floor. It's not about crazy laughter. That's not being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is simply being controlled by the love of God. We see in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul says a prayer for the family of God, and he says, I pray that you're going to be strengthened in your inner being by the Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you will understand the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to know this love that passes understanding. And when you are, you're going to be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. So when you're filled to the measure with the fullness of God, that's the same as being filled with the Spirit. Well, when you're filled with the fullness of the measure of God, you are filled with an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. So the love of God becomes the compelling reason that you do something. It is that that thing that moves you along. So you can speak in tongues, you can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, and when you do, you're just making a bunch of noise.
Sure.
You're just a noisemaker. So love is really the language of God, and He spoke it through Christ Jesus. He demonstrated that love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, and now that He has come to live in us, to live in His in those who have accepted Him by faith, then they can express that love out there to others. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not a feeling. That's not a disposition. That's not a warm fuzzy. That is an action that we direct toward others,
right,
for their benefit, to lift them up from their circumstances. So we can be filled with the Spirit and not speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, being sealed by the Spirit, speaking in tongues is not proof of that either. A lot of people want to equate the two, but the Bible doesn't equate the two. A lot of people look to speaking in tongues as a sign that their salvation is secure, and then they may go for a while and not speak in tongues, and then they're in doubt and they're messed up and they're wondering, why has God forsaken me? Am I even saved? And they go through all of this. If you're looking to an experience as an assurance of your salvation, you're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That's not an anchor that can hold you in the midst of all the stuff that we go through in this world. Your anchor is Jesus. He is the anchor of your faith. And so he completed his work. He took away all of your sins. He was raised from the dead. He has raised you to walk in the newness of life. He sent his Spirit inside of you, and his Spirit is going to constantly bear witness with your human spirit that you're indeed a child of God. So don't look to experience, look to truth. Oftentimes, your experiences can be all over the map. Your feelings can be all over the map.
Sure.
That's why truth rules the roost as far as the Christian life is concerned. What is truth? If you have called upon the name of the Lord, you are saved. You are sanctified. You have been cleansed. You have been washed. You have been forgiven. You have been made holy. And the Spirit has come to live inside of you. And the moment you take your last breath, you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Indeed. Thank you, Bob, for that. And Luis, I hope that's a help to you. Bob, you have very generously offered to send even a second copy of your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to those who make a contribution to support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus on Basic Gospel. Talk a little bit about what motivates you to really help to get that book out, get the message out.
Well, I think my story is familiar in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how to make the Christian life work. That's what I was trying to do, and I couldn't figure it out. Why? Because I was going down the wrong path. I was trying to do it on my own. I was trying to do it through my own understanding. I was trying to do it through my own human effort.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what Christianity is all about. You're never going to find this phrase in the Bible, try harder.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Not there.
The Christian life is all about faith in Jesus Christ. As we said at the very get-go, it is by grace through faith from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have an understanding as to what that looks like in day-to-day life. And so that's what this book is all about. It's going to help your Christian life. It's going to put you on that right path where you are experiencing all of Christ and all of you by grace through faith.
And friends, if you would like to go online right now, you can do that and make your request for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, your first copy or perhaps the second copy to share with a friend right now. Go to basicgospel.net and you'll find the big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. And as a result of that, you'll be helping us continue with the message of love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bob, Samuel recounts a very uncomfortable conversation he had with a very close friend. He says he tried to press me into doubting or denying the existence of the Holy Spirit. It was almost as if he was challenging my desire to be accepted by him versus my faith in Christ, which really hurts. I'd never expected such an exchange from him. It's one thing to expect such questions from the world, but not from those who claim Christ as their Savior. Please share your thoughts on this development.
Well, that's an interesting question, and a lot of times you can meet people and encounter people, and you think, just based on a perfunctory conversation that you're on the same page and you're thinking about things in exactly the same way, and then something like this comes out of left field.
Yeah.
And what it tells you is that maybe you and that particular person aren't on the same page. When you say you believe in God, you're thinking of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When they're thinking of God, they may be thinking of God in a completely different way. So you just need to have a conversation and ask some questions. Well, what do you mean? When you say God, what do you mean?
Yeah.
When you say Jesus, what do you mean? You know, there's a lot of people that say God and they just mean the man upstairs,
right,
that he has no personal involvement in our lives, that he's basically irrelevant. But they just refer to him as the man upstairs. Well, we need to get more specific and say, hey, this God has a name and it's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He was God in human flesh. And when we can get on the same page, then we can understand where a person is really coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in from Linda, who is watching us on YouTube.
Hi, Linda.
And it's this: Bob, I have a question. I have someone that believes Paul teaches we have to endure to the end to be saved. I don't have a verse, not sure what he's referring to. Do you know? Well, there are some folks that look to Jesus and they say he preached a kingdom message, and part of that was they needed to endure to the end to be saved. And then Paul came in with a different message, that you are simply saved by grace through faith. So that could be what you're talking about. But as far as Paul's teaching on the perseverance of the saint, we're going to persevere until the end, because God has rigged it that way. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also, so he's talking about Jew and Gentile, in him you also, Gentile, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So our salvation is secure, and the deposit of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee,
yeah,
that it is secure. And we have this promise of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So God has predestined this, that we are going to be transformed into the image of his Son. That's what's been predestined. He has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us, and his Spirit is about that business. So it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it. All we need to do is simply trust, simply walk by faith in Jesus Christ, and we're going to see the results of that transforming work of God's Spirit in us day in and day out.
Absolutely.
So if you're in Christ, guess what, Linda? You are secure. And just as your salvation, the moment that you went from death to life, was brought about by God, then your sustaining of your salvation, that's on God's shoulders as well. And he's promised that he's going to save you to the very end.
Absolutely. And Linda, that's got to be good news. Thanks for reaching out. And Bob, thanks for that answer for Linda. We love hearing from all of you, our listeners. By the way, before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, as Linda did, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. And remember, at that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number is 844-322-2742, and it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We would love for you to use it. Friends, also keep in mind that we need your support to keep this message on the air and online. Please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you do, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear every day, day after day, right here on Basic Gospel. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today's edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. I'm Bob Davis for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and we'll be back tomorrow at the same time, and we hope you'll join us at that time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.